إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. I welcome all of you, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We continue reading from the book of our beloved Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, Makarim al-Akhlaq, Upright Moral Character. And this is a concise guide to attaining dignified Islamic character. In the translation of our beloved brother, Musa Richardson, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. Now we're in a chapter entitled Anger Management. The Shaykh says, and in this chapter the Shaykh is going to give some serious advice as related to how we manage our anger. Some of us get angry. As a human being we get angry sometimes. But some of us, their anger doesn't lead them to do something that is bad. Some others, they justify their bad actions because they were angry. Inshallah, we may learn something, inshallah ta'ala, tonight. And by the way, we may try to finish the book, inshallah ta'ala, tonight as well. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, we have previously mentioned that good character can be inborn or attained, and that inborn good character is more complete. We have also mentioned proof for this distinction. The statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ashaj Abdul Qais, when he said to him that in you there is two characters that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hilm wal-Anat. And then when the companion, he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this is something that I worked for, I strive for, or something that Allah put in me? قَلْ بَلِ اللَّهُ جَبَلَكَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Rather, Allah has created you with them, with these noble characters. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, inborn good character. Inborn good character is something that someone is born with. Allah put it in a person. Sometimes you find non-Muslims, they have some good character with the people, but they don't have good character with Allah. See? They don't have good manners with their Creator, but they have good character with the cats. Take care of them, take them to the doctor, everything. Buy them the best food. Some of them wake up early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, to walk the dog. But they don't wake up to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. So the Shaykh says, inborn good character is also more complete since it is never absent from a person. That's why it is good. It's always with a person. Never absent. As opposed to good character that is attained, somebody that attained them, which may fail him in many situations, may fail the person. And this is because the one who attains good character needs to continually practice, work hard, and struggle to maintain his manners during calamities that take a toll on a person. A man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, what's that?
It's a short book. Same book.
Okay. A man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, advise me, give me advice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, La taghdab, do not get angry. The man repeated his request for advice a number of times. Each time, the reply was the same from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "La taghdab, do not get angry." The ulama, they mentioned that likewise, do not get angry, meaning avoid things that make you angry. As a human being, we get angry. It's not like there is a button on you, on your shoulder, left shoulder, you push it on, you push it, now you get angry. If it's off, you're not gonna get angry. It's not like that. We're human beings. We have reactions. Anger is a reaction. You react to something. That's how people get angry. So the ulama, when they explain this, they say, it means avoid places, people, statements, things that make you angry. Avoid these things. So if a person goes somewhere and make him angry, don't go there anymore. Being around certain people that make him angry, don't be around them, unless for necessity. Another hadith the Shaykh mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The strong man is not the one who can physically overtake others. Rather, the strong man in truth is the one who can control himself when he is angry. So the strong man, usually for certain people, strong man is the one who can lift three brothers and toss them the other side of the fence. That's a strong man. Right or wrong? A strong man to them, he punched in a wall and nothing happened to his hand, but he leave a big hole in the masjid wall or somebody else's property. That's a strong man. No, man. All right, if the people think that's a strong man, now we want to hear what the Prophet ﷺ said. And then, there is no choice. It's not like, oh, okay, well, the Prophet ﷺ said that, but there ain't no but in this one. We have to follow the Messenger ﷺ. And the Messenger ﷺ, he says, the strong man is not the one who can physically overtake others. Rather, the strong man, in truth, is the one who can control himself when he is angry. That's a strong man. So how many strongs, the Imam says here? This is the real scale now. Oh, I bunch 350. Yeah, but you can, but little kid get you angry. So what? A little kid that doesn't bench 3 pounds get you angry? So what is your strength? What is the strength? What is it? SubhanAllah. A person can push a whole bus, school bus, loaded, can push it, but can't even push one statement away. When somebody, can't even push one statement away. One statement can shut him down, get him in jail sometimes. Because somebody told him something and they want to start something worse than that. No, the strongest man is the man who is, what the Prophet says, control himself. He doesn't say, even he's angry. Yes, that person is very angry, but still gonna say only what's pleasing to Allah or be quiet. That's it. Because that strong man, he's fighting at that time. You think he's fighting or not? He's fighting what? His nafs. Yeah, he can. He can cause some damage, but he's fighting. He's still in fight. But he's not punching somebody. Now he's fighting his nafs. Now I can't do this. Why? Because the hadith tell him, you want to be a strong man? Control yourself in time of anger. So he's fighting. But see to the people, somebody who's fighting is the one who's throwing punches at others. Right or wrong? Now this man is throwing some serious punches at his nafs desires. His nafs telling him, come on, say it. Are you going to let him go? Like that? But he's like, no, man, I'm not following my nafs. I'm going to follow the sunnah. I'm a Muslim. I'll follow my desires. Desires will ruin me. I'm following this text that I have heard in this class, in this khutbah. I've read in this book. Tayyib. May Allah make us from those. Amen. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Hadith number 6116. 6116. On the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Actually, that hadith, the reference I just gave you is for the first hadith, لا تغضب. The reference I just gave you is for the hadith, do not get angry. As for this hadith I just mentioned about the strong man who control himself in a time of anger, this hadith actually is also found in Sahih al-Bukhari, but hadith number 6114, right before it. 6114. And also in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2609, on the authority of Abu Huraira as well, radiallahu anhu. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, so the strong man is not someone who can wrestle people and physically overtake them. That's not the real strong man. Yes, he's strong as related to that, but he's not the real strong man. Rather, the strong man is he who can control his anger. He who manages himself well and remains in control when angry is a truly strong man. Shaykh says, he who manages himself well and remains in control when angry is a truly strong man. Maintaining control of oneself during a time of anger is a kind of upright moral character. Is a good man. How many people were injured just because of the other people were angry? How many people, how many calamities, how many families were destroyed, marriages, just because he or she, they were angry and they don't apply the texts? How many partners they split? How many good friends, they were friends for years, and just because Allah tests them and they fail the test. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah says, if you become angry, then do not unleash your anger. Don't say anything, do anything. Instead, seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaitan. If you are standing, then sit down. If you are sitting, then lay down on your side. If the anger still increases, then go on and perform wudu until it recedes. So these are the statements of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala. Our brother, Hafidhahullah, Musa Richardson, he mentioned some narrations. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen didn't mention, but he mentioned some narration. He says, as for when Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he mentioned, if you are standing, then sit down. Were you angry? If you are sitting, then lay down on your side. It says, it was reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَضْطَجِعْ. When one of you becomes angry while standing, then he should sit down. If his anger does not recede, then he should lay down. And then he mentioned the Takhrir. This hadith is found in Sunan Abu Dawud, Musnad Imam Ahmad, Sahih ibn Hibban, Shu'ab al-Iman, Sharh al-Sunnah, on the authority of Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu. But the hadith was declared unauthentic, not authentic, in al-Ilal al-Warida, and also in Takhrij Tafsir ibn Kathir. However, he says the meaning of this narration is supported by another weak narration with a similar meaning in Musnad Imam Ahmad. So perhaps the conclusion of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and al-Albani in Tariq al-Mishkat that the hadith is Hasan is more correct, and Allah knows best. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala says, in summary, naturally, good character is better than good character that has been attained. Naturally, good character is better than the one that been attained, since it is a person's natural way of interacting. Something easy for him or her in every occasion. while good character that has been attained gets misplaced in many situations. Because a person is not going to like find it, or let me find my good character, my patience, my forgiveness. No, it's got to be in you. When it's in you, alhamdulillah. When it's not in you, sometimes it may come in the right time, sometimes it may come a little bit late. And that's where the damage comes. If someone, man, driving, and he see the red light, will he stop? In a busy intersection, will he stop? Usually people at the red light, will they stop? You don't know?
Before the red light.
Right there at the light, man. At the light they stop, right? Can a person afford to like say, listen man, I'm not going to stop 3-6 steps. Huh? After the light. Can he afford that? He stopped. But he stopped what? Huh?
In the middle of the street.
In the middle of the intersection. He's going to cause a lot of problems. Likewise, certain people. Yes, they have good manners, but because it wasn't inborn in them, and they didn't struggle very hard and remind themselves constantly, even though they have that good manners sometimes, but they may not have it when they need it. And then they cause problems. They curse somebody shouldn't curse because they hit somebody they shouldn't put their hands on. They did something that they regret for the rest of their life. It ain't that. Now the Shaykh, he said, how to attain good character? He says, rahimahullah, it is possible for a person who is not born with good character to attain it. He or she does this by practicing and trying to change. By practicing good manners and trying to change the evil manner. He or she can become a person of upright moral character through the following affairs. Firstly, and this is very important for us. Firstly, a person can attain good character by reading the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's where the good manners are. By reading the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he or she reaches and finds the texts that praise the good character they hope to attain. Whenever the true believer comes across a text that praises certain action or behavior, he or she will take on that behavior. True believer does what Allah commands. What the Messenger commands. And Allah and His Messenger command us only with good manners and good character. And they show us, whether in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the benefits and the reward of that manner in this life and in the hereafter. Secondly, from the things that will help us, one can attain good character by accompanying those known for good character. Being around those people who have good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير فحامل المسك إما أن يحذيك يعني يهديك هدية وإما أن تبتاع منه وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبة ومثل الجليس السوء كنافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك وإما أن تجد منه ريحا خبيثة. إدريس sit correctly, turn this way, turn. The Prophet ﷺ says the example of a righteous companion in comparison to a bad companion. A righteous friend to a bad friend. Companion is somebody that you spend a lot of time with. You go with him, sit with him, eat with him, ride with him, come with him, or he's with so-and-so. Oh, did you see brother so-and-so? Oh, he just left with so-and-so. Oh, he's coming with so-and-so. Oh, I just called him and so-and-so was with him. That's your companion. So the Prophet ﷺ says the example of a righteous companion is in comparison to a bad one is like the difference between a perfume salesman and a blacksmith. Somebody who sells perfumes, fragrance, whatever they may be, musk or anything like that, and the blacksmith. The blacksmith is a man who works with the fire. You know, he worked with the fire, used fire to burn stuff, to make things. That's how he worked with the fire. The perfume salesman will either give you a fragrance as a gift, sell you some, you buy some, or at least if none of this happened, no gift, and you didn't buy nothing yourself, at least you will be affected by his pleasant aroma. When you leave his company, you smell good. Okay? But the example of a bad companion is that of a blacksmith, the man who works around fire, who will either burn your clothes or disturb you with his filthy odor. You hang around, somebody work with the fire, excuse me, throwing fire, fire burning, whether the fire burn your clothing or yourself, or at least if you save from that, when you left, the smell, because he was burning this and that, materials burning, whatever, rubber, now you smell. Are you going to smell some musk, some white musk or white amber? No. So the Shaykh says, so the youth, al-shabab, the youth must accompany those known for good character and stay away from those who have bad character and poor behavior. This way, companionship becomes a kind of a school that they learn and gain good character from. And how do you know a person is a good companion? He fears Allah. He wants to do what Allah tells him to do. He's mindful of the salat. He loves the deen of Allah. He loves Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Read more Quran. He listens to the Quran. Don't listen to music. He reads Quran. Don't read magazines. He be in the masjid, not in some coffee, watching some, I don't know what. He talks about the deen of Allah. Don't backbite people. That's a good companion. He don't smoke. He don't listen to music. He don't backbite. Don't lie. Don't hit people. He's serious, calm, humble. That's a good companion. You want to be around them. But somebody just want to listen to music, want to chat, want to play game videos. He just want to like take you away from the masjid. You're on your way to the masjid. No, come on, man. This is a game. No, this is not a good company. You don't want to be around that person. Thirdly, one can attain good character by thinking about the effects of his bad character. Since a person with bad character is detested. Nobody likes people with bad character. Abandon. People will abandon somebody who has bad character. They don't want to be around him. Man, got bad manners. Don't know to talk to the people. Has bad manners with Allah, bad manners with the creation. Nobody wants to be around that person. And only mentioned in a negative way. When that person is mentioned, then in a negative way. Somebody want to marry his daughter, and he's like, "Akhi, how you think about sir?" "Oh, no, akhi, no. Way iyaka, thumma iyak. No way, brother. SubhanAllah, don't give your daughter to that man." "But he's in a masjid good." "Yeah, he's in a masjid good, but listen, man, that man is no good." See, people, they don't have nothing good to say about that person. "Wanna get in a business with somebody?" "No, akhi, SubhanAllah, don't give him your money." "La ilaha illallah. Akhi, I'm warning you, don't give him your money." And many things. Even it comes to ranting. "Is he, this man, this brother, he pray with you. And he says, you know, he know you, mashallah. He want to rent my apartment." "No, akhi, don't. No way, man, that brother, man, he destroyed many other people's properties before. And he don't pay rent. He fights the neighbors. They got nothing good to say about him because he got bad manners." And when a person knows that bad manners lead to these things, then he will surely refrain from them. Okay? Now the Shaykh, he mentioned another chapter, the impeccable manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best manners of all. He says, we have the finest role model in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had the best manners. As Allah the Exalted said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And verily you are upon a high standard of moral character. Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 4. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, all of the events that took place in the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prove his fine character. Everything he did shows his fine character sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fine character even when dealing with little children. He was ever so gentle and playful with them. Once the Prophet said to a little child, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al al-Nughayr? Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al al-Nughayr? O Aba Umair, what has al-Nughayr done? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned, he says, Abu Umair was the nickname of a young boy who had a little bird called al-Nughayr, similar to a sparrow named Nughayr. And the Shaykh, he gives us a story. He says, the bird had died. This is a young boy. He has this little bird. Okay? His kunya is Abu Umair, the young boy. Okay? The bird died. And thus the boy became sad over its death. He makes me feel sad. He likes his bird. So the Prophet ﷺ cheered him up, man. He cheered that boy up by saying to him, Oh Abu Umair, what has al-Nughayr done? SubhanAllah. Prophet ﷺ being nice. He said to him, You said for what? For a bird? You better get it together. Yeah, like some of us talk to our children. No. Very nicely. Take in consideration their feelings and the like. May Allah make us righteous. I mean, we make a lot of mistakes, man. May Allah has mercy on us. Another example. Once a Bedouin came and began urinating in the masjid. The masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A Bedouin is a man who doesn't live in a city. And usually the people who live in a city, because they live in a city, they have a kitchen, they have dining room, and their homes are different. And they have a bathroom, and they know if one is the bathroom, he knows where to go. These Bedouins, they live in the deserts. They don't have no stable homes. They keep moving. So they don't have a bathroom. If one of them wants to use the bathroom, what they do? He just move a little bit away from the people, take care of it, and come back. So this Bedouin, that's what he did. He came to the masjid, he looked, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions sitting in one place. He went to the other side of the masjid, far enough from them, and he began to urinate. That's all that Bedouin know. The people rebuked him and reprimanded him severely, sternly, until the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped them. It's like, can you imagine we're here and somebody came and started urinating over there in that corner? Huh? May Allah have mercy on that brother. From us, you know? You know? Because we're going to, what you doing, man? People are going to say all kind of stuff, right? The Prophet ﷺ stopped the companion. He told him, stop. Don't talk to him. Don't reprimand him. When the Bedouin finished urinating, the Prophet ﷺ simply called for a bucket of water to be poured over the urine. So to remove the impurity. Okay? And he then called him over and said to him, and then he called that Bedouin nicely, in a nice way. He told him, where you come from? Huh? Where you come from? Aren't you human? Don't you know? Why, you're even little boys don't do this? None of this. None of this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kind, gentle, nice way, cheerful face. He said to him, Inna hadihi al-masajid la yasluhu fiha shay'un min al-adha aw al-qadar. Innama hiya lis-salati wa qira'ati al-Qur'an. He said to him, it is not proper for any harmful or dirty things to be allowed in this masajid. Rather, they are only meaning the masajid, for prayer and the recitation of the Quran. The hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Or he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may have said something carrying this meaning, but with different words. Shaykh al-Taymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, this story is a clear demonstration of his fine manners, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he did not chastise this Bedouin, or order that he be beaten. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could say to the companions, take care of this guy, who is he? He didn't do that. He didn't chastise him, nor order that this man to be beaten. Instead, he let him finish urinating. SubhanAllah. He finished the man urinating in the masjid, in the corner of the masjid. Idris, come over here, please. Come up. In here, stand up. Don't move without permission. So he said he didn't chastise his Bedouin or order that he be beaten. Instead, he let him finish urinating. And then taught him that it is not proper to do such a thing in the masjid. And that they are reserved for prayer, the masajid, remembrance of Allah, and the recitation of the Quran. Yes, you may say, for example, somebody came and began to listen to music. What do we do then? What are you doing, Akhi? A'udhu billah. Who are you? You're a kafir. Maybe somebody just took shahada this morning by dhuhr time. Don't know anything. This man used to listen to his music. He came over there in Islam. MashaAllah, who knows what he's listening to? So if one of us listened and witnessed that, what do we do? Huh? Beat him up. What do we do? I'm asking you, by the way. Yell at him. La ilaha illallah. Nicely, yeah, nicely. You go to the person nicely and tell him, MashaAllah, would you please turn that off? Because this masajid, not for this. No music here allowed, okay? It's for Quran. And even if you listen to the Quran, respect the others, don't make it too loud, okay? Because this masajid are not built for this, for the salat, for the Quran and the like. And this is how people will learn. And they will love to come back. Okay? Another time, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ in Ramadan. Here's another example. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ in Ramadan and said, O Messenger of Allah, I am destroyed. I am destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, وَمَا أَهْلَكَكَ? And what has destroyed you? The man said, I had intercourse with my wife in Ramadan while I was fasting. In the daylight. Which is not permissible. It's not permissible. Because in Ramadan we abstain from intercourse if somebody is married. Of course, because we're not going to talk about zina. That's haram, period. In Ramadan or outside Ramadan. And a person should stay away from any other things that may break the fast, whether food or drink. So the Prophet ﷺ did not rebuke or chastise him. SubhanAllah. The Prophet didn't say to him, SubhanAllah, don't you know? Now you have the nerve to come and talk to me about it. So, some of us do this. Somebody come and now they know what they did wrong. They're looking for some solution, right? Now you find someone's make it worse. Can you imagine somebody's bleeding? His head bleeding. Yeah, he did something. He did a bad move. Not a good move. This man, he made this move and he hurt his head bleeding. He went to the doctor and the doctor, instead to help him, he's like, how this happened? Well, I just died. You what? There's something wrong with you? Don't you know you don't supposed to do that? The man is bleeding. What the doctor supposed to do? Supposed to help the man. Assist him. Later on, tell him, listen, man, Oh, try to do that stuff, man. You jump in the sixth floor. Come on, man. Don't do this again. All right? So the Prophet ﷺ kindly, he did not rebuke or chastise the man. Some of us, they see men drinking water, not just having intercourse, drinking water, what they do? They get on him, man. They don't even ask. Akhi, you know it's Ramadan. Because that person who drink in Ramadan, it could be for what reasons, number one? Sick. A sick person. Number two, a traveler. Number three,
He forget.
Number four, Old man who cannot fast. Naam, ahsan. Number five,
he didn't know
it's haram to drink water. Naam, ahsan. He just took shahada, don't know. Number six, crazy person, insane. Naam, ahsan. Number seven, yes, the first day of Ramadan, he didn't know. Nobody told him it's Ramadan. Maybe in his message they said, we didn't see the moon. But later on they said, oh, the moon was sighted, and certain people know about it, certain people didn't know. Ahsant. Number eight.
Maybe he thinks it's Maghrib time.
Hey, maybe he thought it's Maghrib time. Ahsant. No light, no watches where they at. It happened in the time of the Prophet. It was cloudy, storm. Oh, alhamdulillah, sunset, start drinking. Number nine. Alright, that's enough. You did good, by the way. When I asked you, I was thinking of only about three. Allahu Akbar, Jazakumullahu Khair. Only three was on my mind. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Barakallahu Fikum. So now, hey, subhanAllah, we get on people. How, why, don't you suppose? Some of us don't even talk to him, get on the phone. You know so-and-so? A'udhu billahi, astaghfirullah. He's not fasting Ramadan, man. The whole Ramadan. The man didn't even fast the whole Ramadan. See how we jump to conclusions? The man don't fast Ramadan, akhi. A'udhu billah. Instead to go nicely, akhi, you're drinking water. The man says, yeah, what? Something wrong with water? No, nothing wrong with water. I love water too, but today is Ramadan. If that man forgetting, he's going to say, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair. See? If he's sick, he's going to tell you, Jazakallah khair, but I have a condition. If he's traveling, he's going to tell you, Jazakallah khair, I'm traveling. If he don't know, he's going to say to you, oh, I just took shahada, akhi, yesterday. I can't drink water. Oh, thank you. He may not say Jazakallah khair. Maybe he didn't learn that one yet. Thank you, man. Yeah. What else I cannot do? Alright? SubhanAllah. Or somebody who's insane. He's drinking water. He said, you drinking water? He said, this is Dr. Pepper. He don't know. Alright? So that will tell you who you're talking to. All right? So it's just a lot of things. Anyway, let's go back to the narration of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ didn't rebuke this man, chastise him, or tell him, why do you do this in Ramadan? Look, now the Prophet ﷺ, he's going to help him to get out of that mess he has put himself. Because this man, he said, I am destroyed. This man, he says, he's destroyed, man. He says, فَهَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُعْتِقُ رَقَبَةً? Can you afford to free a slave? Do you have the means to free a slave? The man says, no. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's telling him, giving him the solution how to get out of this mess. He says, can you afford to free a slave? He says, no. The Prophet ﷺ didn't ask him, فَهَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَسُومَ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ? Look, he's asking him. He didn't tell him, you gotta do this. He's asking him, subhanAllah. Then, are you able to fast 2 months in a row? I switch it because the other one is difficult for me to say. Consecutively? Consecutively. It's even you guys' problem with it. Alhamdulillah, make me feel good now. What is it again?
Consecutively.
Conse- You're from Ethiopia. This is not Aromo, this is English, okay?
Consecutively.
Yes, you got it right, mashallah. Consecutively, mashallah. All right, in a row. Let's keep it simple, okay? To fast 2 months in a row without interruption. That's what consecutively mean? All right, jazakallah khair. The man says what? No, I can't fast. In another narration, it says, what get me in this trouble except for fasting? Subhanallah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, فَهَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُطْعِمُ سِتِّينَ مَسْكِينًا? Then, do you have enough food to feed 60 poor people? The man says, no. Subhanallah. You think after all this, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, come on man, I'm trying to help you out here. No, that's us. We say that stuff. I'm trying to help you, man. Are you serious? Come on, you're not playing with me, right? That's we. You're not playing with me. Come on, man, you can't even feed somebody? No. This is the Prophet ﷺ. We learn from his manners. Subhanallah. So, the man sat down. Prophet ﷺ, that's it. He told him these three choices. That's what it is, by the way. Okay, and the man sat down. The Prophet ﷺ didn't talk to him. A large basket of dates was brought. Somebody brought a large basket of dates to the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ took it and said to the man, تَصَدَّقْ بِهَادَ. Give this out in charity. I will do it for you, inshallah. So the man says, then the man at that time, he says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nobody in this city, in this town, that are more destitute and more poor than me and my family. There is no one in the entire city of Al-Madina who needs this more than us, than me and my family. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed, with his front teeth visible, and said to him, idhab fa at'imhu ahlak. Go and feed your family with it. Allahu Akbar. So his sallallahu alaihi wasallam show of good character in this story is obvious. So he did not reprimand this man, insult him. Even this man did something bad. He didn't reprimand him, insult him, or rebuked him. Rather, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gentle and wise. He knew that this man had come in repentance. This man is coming in repentance and was fearful and sorry for what he did. So the Prophet ﷺ determined that this man should not be reprimanded. Rather, the appropriate ruling should simply be clarified to him and he should be dealt with kindly. Now, likewise our children. We all make mistakes, and the children, they make mistakes. So when a child comes to you and fearful, scared, thinking, I don't know what's running in through his mind, now you gotta make it easy for them. Come here, son. No, sit down. What happened? Don't worry. Just tell me the truth. No, you know, mashallah. We all make mistakes, but listen, try your best next time. Be careful. Pay more attention. This is the akhlaq of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now another chapter, the manners of the non-Muslims. The Shaykh says, many people mention that Western people have better manners than us. Now these people, they say this. Some people, they say that. They said Western people have better manners than us. In their general interactions and in their business dealings, especially when you find deception, lying, and even false oaths widespread amongst Muslims. Now, amongst us, the Muslims, the Shaykh says. Now, the Shaykh says, many people mention that Western people have better manners than us in their general interactions with one another, and in their business dealings when they deal with one another, especially when you find deception, lying, and even false oaths widespread amongst us, the Muslims. The Shaykh says, what is the reason for this? Has their technically advanced society had a positive impact on their character? The response. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ يُعْطَى النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَى رِجَالٌ دِمَاءَ قَوْمٍ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ الْبَيِّنَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي. If the people were given everything they claim, then some people would claim the blood and property of others. However, the burden of proof is on the claimant. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, regarding what is commonly claimed by many people, that the people in the West have good manners in their dealings with others, this is simply not true, the Shaykh says. The bad manners they have are known to anyone who goes to them and observes them justly, not based on reverence and admiration. As the poet says, وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ كَمَا أَنَّ عَيْنَ السُّخْتِ تُبْدِي الْمَسَاوِيَةِ. The eye of approval is too weak to notice a single defect. Just as the eye of contempt exposes the hidden faults. He says, many young men who travel to the West have narrated to me accounts of the work of the worst kinds of manners. And their good dealings in business are not done because of them being people of good manners. Rather, it is only on account of them being worshippers of material things. Whenever a person deals well with others in worldly transactions, people are more inclined to him and more likely to do business with him and promote his products. They are not doing that because they have perfect manners. Rather, they only do that because they are materialistic. And they understand that the biggest advertisement that leads to the growth of their wealth is to do well in their transactions. What they call it? Good what?
Customer service.
Have good customer service. People will come, will run. Oh, that was good. Yeah, go there. See? And they forget that they have the weakest bad manner, shirk. The Shaykh says, they are not doing that because they have perfect manners. Rather, they only do that because they are materialistic. And they understand that the biggest advertisement that leads to the growth of their wealth is to do well in their transactions in order to attract a large number of customers. Aside from this, they are as Allah the Almighty has described them, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Verily those who have disbelieved from amongst the people of the book, i.e. Jews and Christians, and the polytheists will abide in the fire of hell. There they shall remain forever. Those are the worst of creatures. Surah Al-Bayyinah. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahu wa ta'ala says, I do not believe that anyone can be more truthful than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, in describing the disbelievers. They are the worst of the creatures. How could purely good things be expected from people whom Allah has described as being the worst of creatures? I do not believe that such a thing will ever happen. Honesty, clarity, and good dealings are not found in their actions because they have ulterior motives to gain material possessions and make profits. Those who have invested or those who have witnessed the oppression, injustice, and haughtiness found in many of their dealings will testify to the reality of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Those are the worst of creatures. The Shaykh says, the deception, lies, and treachery found in many of the Muslims' dealings are things that weaken the faith of the Muslims based on the severity of their violations of the Islamic legislation in those dealings. It is not the case that the wrong actions of some of the Muslims and their contradictions to the Islamic legislation in affairs like these indicate any deficiency in the Islamic legislation itself. He says, the Islamic legislation is complete and perfect, And those who violate it are harming themselves, firstly, then the reputation of the Islamic religion. They also harm the reputations of their brother Muslims, and even the non-Muslims they do business with. In reality, they have only harmed their own selves. As a true person of intellect would not consider the bad dealings of some people who violate their laws as a reflection of the deficiency of the laws that govern them. The Shaykh says, based on this, I hope that all Muslims will be strongly determined in their firm opposition to these kinds of dealings that are not approved of in Islam. So no cheating in Islam. Muslims don't cheat. Muslims don't deceive. Muslims don't take the wealth of others by lying and cheating and the like. The Shaykh says the likes of lying, treachery, deception and trickery. And then another chapter, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, we have only two chapters, or actually this chapter and a conclusion, alhamdulillah. That's it. Which is better, good manners or religious obedience? Which is better, a man with good manners who is deficient in his practice of the religion, or a devoutly religious man with bad manners? This is a good question, right or wrong? Huh? Which is better now? A man or a woman, Shaykh, when he says a man, this applies on a woman too. A person with good manners, who is deficient in his practice of the religion, this is a person got good manners, but negligent, deficient when it comes to practicing the religion. Or a devoutly religious person who is really doing good in practicing the religion, but with bad manners. And how is this related to the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Ummu Salama when he said to her, "Dhahaba husn al-khuluq bi khayri ad-dunya wal-akhirah." The one with good manners gets the best of this life and the hereafter. Ummu Salama radiyallahu anha died in the year 60 of the Hijra, and she was Hind bint Abi Umayyah, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore she is Ummul Mu'mineen, she is the mother of the believers. She and her previous husband Abu Salama were radiyallahu an were the first to make the immigration to Abyssinia al-Habasha. The footnote, the brother, he says that after he mentions certain things, he says, you may read it, he says, the hadith is considered unauthentic, not sound. Anyway, the response. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi says, there is no doubt that the complete observance of the religion includes completion of one's character. As has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The most complete believers are those with the finest character. The most complete believers are those, the most complete believers in terms of faith, in terms of iman, are those with the finest character, with good manners, with upright moral character. This hadith is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, number 4644, Jami al-Tirmidhi, number 1162, and others, as mentioned previously. And it is authenticated in Jami al-Tirmidhi and Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha, number 284. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu ta'ala, said thus, anyone who has deficiencies in his character has deficiencies in his application of the religion itself. Allah says, anyone who has deficiencies in his character has deficiencies in his application of the religion itself. Since the completeness of a person's religion is known by the completeness of his manners, Allah. The Shaykh says, as we have mentioned, upright moral character is found, manifest in one's interactions with his Creator and in one's interaction with the creation. Continue after the Adhan, inshaAllah ta'ala. So the Shaykh, once again, they repeat. He says, anyone who has deficiencies in his character has deficiencies in his application of the religion itself. Since the completeness of a person's religion is known by the completeness of his manners or her manners. He says, as we have mentioned, upright moral character is found manifest in one's interactions with his Creator and in one's interaction with the creation. This makes it clear that the completion of a person's character is necessary for the completion of his religious observance. See how it's important, good manners. A person with perfect manners has an effect on others. He draws them to Islam and to the religion more than a seemingly religious person with bad manners. When a person who is strong in his acts of worship is granted success in attaining perfect character, his situation is indeed better. However, it is not possible to prove whether a devout worshipper with bad manners is better than a well-mannered person with good manners. In conclusion, or in closing, the Shaykh says, we ask Allah to make us from those who stick strongly to His book and to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in secret and openly. And may He subhanahu wa ta'ala take our souls in that state. Ameen. May He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us in this life and the next, and not allow our hearts to stray after He has guided us. May Allah grant us a portion of His mercy, as He is Al-Wahhab, the ever-giving one. And by this we come to an end to reading this book, Alhamdulillah. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him for allowing us to finish this book. This book, Upright Moral Character, by our beloved Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we read in 5 parts, because today is the 5th part, Alhamdulillah. Now, since we still have maybe 15 minutes for the Iqamah, I'm going to read to you what our brother Musa Richardson, Hafidhahu Ta'ala, has gathered and compiled from the upright character of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Some examples. Love for the truth. Shaykh was known to love the truth. He says, once during a Friday khutbah, well, before that, indeed Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, was a person of tawheed and a devout worshipper. His love for the truth was apparent in how he combined between devout personal acts of worship and tremendous efforts to guide and educate the Muslims. As mentioned in his biography, in the beginning of this book, he worked hard as a teacher, admonisher, judge, preacher, and guide, by Allah's permission, for over half a century. Although he was not known to be mistaken often, when he recognized an error that he fell into, he was a great example of how an honest, upright man of the truth deals with his mistakes. Once during a Friday khutbah, he was speaking about the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, and mistakenly mentioned that it is the greatest verse in the Qur'an, and that it is to be read before going to sleep. Two things specific to what? To Ayat al-Kursi. Not Surah Al-Fatiha. After the khutbah, this was pointed out to him. Somebody told him, Shaykh, you mentioned this and this. So the next week, during the Friday khutbah, he said, last week I mentioned that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest verse in the Quran, and that it is to be read before going to sleep, and that was a mistake on my part. Allahu Akbar. And that was a mistake on my part. He would easily retract his mistakes, big or small, rahimahullah ta'ala, and clarify them, as the most important thing to him was fulfilling the trust of knowledge and making sure the people understood the truth. His humbleness, rahimahullah. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala drove a very modest car, an older model that would stall often, stops often. Once it stalled on the way of the university. So the Shaykh got out and pushed the car himself until the driver managed to get it running again. Once he even interrupted his lecture in the masjid when he learned that a pipe in the bathroom was leaking. He went and gathered some plumbing tools and began repairing the pipe with some of his students. When he fixed the problem, he returned to his chair and finished his lesson. Selfishness. Selfishness. Right? Meaning he's not self, selfish. Selfishness. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala lived in an old dilapidated. What does that mean? What's dilapidated?
Run down,
not too good, right? House. Old house. And once King Khalid ibn Abdul Aziz came to visit him, when he saw the condition of his house, he ordered that a new large house be built for the Shaykh. He accepted the kind gesture, as he did not like to refuse gifts. However, he made the new house an endowment for his students to live in for free. SubhanAllah. He furnished it himself, adding a library of books and tapes, and even setting up a restaurant in it when a full-time cook available for the students, 3 daily meals. Allah. Also his kindness to children. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala was extremely kind and playful with children. He would allow children to take his hand and lead them whenever they wanted, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Once he stopped to play with the 2 sons of one of his students on his way to the masjid. He took one of them by the hand and drew a watch on his wrist. The boy became so excited as if he had been given a golden watch. Then he did the same to the other boy's hand as he walked into the masjid with all the people looking at him. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, while kind and gentle with children, would still enforce Allah's legislation with them in a way they could benefit from. Once some of the Shaykh's relatives, young children, were playing at his house. One of them was wearing a pair of pants with a plastic emblem of a lion on them. The Shaykh came out and played with them a while, and then noticed the image. He took the boy's hand and talked with him playfully for a while, and then pulled out some money and says, "I will give you this money if you can remove this image." Adding that it was something not pleasing to Allah. So the boy became excited about the money and removed the image. Thus the children learned about how to change an evil, and they also refrained from wearing anything with images after that. Another example, his kindness to animals. He says, the kindness of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, a true follower of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. extended even to animals. Once, while he was teaching at the Haram in Mecca, because when the Prophet ﷺ came for Umrah, came for Hajj, he would teach in there. He used to teach. While he was teaching his class in the Haram, a cat entered the rows of attendees, the people that listened to him. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he stopped his lesson and said, "What does this cat want? What does this cat want? Maybe she wants some water, so give her some water." So some of the people who was there gave the cat some water as the Shaykh went on to explain the ruling on cats, saliva, and said, "This point of benefit was mentioned on the occasion of the arrival of this cat." To which the attendees all laughed. So he was talking about something, but now he said, "Look, you guys, I'm going to give you some extra point, now some benefit about the saliva of the cat. Is it pure or impure?" And this is, mashallah, the Shaykh wasn't going to talk about that until that cat was there. Here is his fairness and justice. He was fair and just. He don't use his position to get money or to, or this or that. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala would not be pleased when people gave him special privileges due to his status. Once he was late for a charity engagement in Bureida, and his driver was driving fast. So he's the Shaykh, he has something to do. But he was late, so the driver, he was very fast on the highway. To get him there on time. On the way, their car was stopped at a police checkpoint. When the officer saw the Shaykh in the car, he told them to proceed. As they moved on, the Shaykh asked the driver why they were stopped. The driver explained that he had been driving over the speed limit. That's why he was stopped by the police. The Shaykh says, "Go back to the checkpoint." He ordered the driver, "Go back." When they returned to the checkpoint, the Shaykh asked the officer why he had stopped them. "For speeding," the officer replied. So then, the Shaykh said to him, "So then, why did you let us go?" The Shaykh asked, "Why did you let us go if he was speeding?" The man says, you were likely in a hurry and had something important to attend to." Said, "No," said the Shaykh. "How much is a speeding ticket?" The police officer says, "Shaykh, there is no need." The Shaykh says, "How much is a speeding ticket?" The Shaykh insisted. 300, the policeman says. The Shaykh then handed the officer 150 riyal and ordered him to take another 150 from the driver. From the driver. And said, "Because he broke the law. And I did not advise him." He said, "Here's 150 from me, take 150 from him. He broke the law, I didn't advise him." And he insisted that the fine be paid. SubhanAllah. The Shaykh was so concerned with being treated like everyone else. If he was just a few minutes late for work at Al-Mahad Al-Ilmi, he would make a note of it on his time sheet, writing, "And excused." SubhanAllah. Likewise, we conclude with this, handling trust with integrity and caution. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala would return parts of his salary when he was absent, even with an excuse. He would even empty the ink from his pen into the inkwell at his office before leaving work to avoid using the school's supplies for tasks not related to the school. Allah. I remember that. The Shaykh, if you wanna, they give him pants in there to do stuff for what he's doing. But if he wanna do something, he wanna write something from his, that's, he will use his own pen. He has a phone for work. If you wanna call his family, he will use his own phone. People abuse, subhanAllah, everything, but yadu billah, some people. People abuse this. He's entrusted with the phone somewhere. He bring all his family to make long distance phone calls. It's free. No, it's not free. That's mas'uliyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our Shaykh. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahmahu ta'ala. And the rest of our beloved mashayikh. So inshaAllah ta'ala we conclude this book, alhamdulillah, and this is from the ni'am of Allah upon us, alhamdulillah. We want to go back to this book now, not just because we finish it. Those who have it, alhamdulillah, mashaAllah, get it. Read it more. Those who don't have it, try to get a copy, inshaAllah ta'ala. Or at the least, you can get it on the internet. And you go Google it or something, you will find it and download and print a copy for you like I did. It's in English and Arabic. Alhamdulillah. So that you can review it and there is a lot of benefits in it. Or you can listen to the tapes, to the CDs, whether you can get a copy, inshallah, request a copy from the masjid, or you can listen to these classes on the blog, followthesalaf.com. followthesalaf.com. As all of these classes here, alhamdulillah, they are on that blog, followthesalaf.com. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekum.